morning, Christ Church. Morning. Happy Mother's Day. Can we make some noise for the moms? We are so thankful for you. Having a great mom is a blessing. Amen. And I'm thankful for my mom. Moms, this church is filled with great moms, and we really want to celebrate you today. We're lost without you, and man, for all the hard work and the sacrifice and the love and the wisdom that you bring to our lives, we are thankful for you. And we have Dough Daddy after service, all right? So you're getting the best food truck we got here, moms, okay? We wouldn't do that for the dads. but we truly are thankful. So I hope that today you feel special. I hope you feel loved. And let me say a prayer for us. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for the blessings of our moms, Lord, and for what they pour into us. And Father, I pray they would feel loved and special today. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we strive to understand what a deep life is and show us the blessing and the strength of friendship. And I pray that you would be with us and you would meet us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we started last week a new sermon series called The Deep Life. And we've been talking about how can we live a life that is meaningful, that is rich, but where we're not always living in a constant state of exhaustion and a constant state of having that sense of, man, the tank is empty and I have, you know, nothing to give. I don't know if you've ever had those seasons of life like that. I think we all probably have, maybe are in it. And we're talking about how do we live from this sense of abundance, this sense of surplus that Christ says, I've come to give that to you. How do we live in it? So we've been looking at different ideas and different principles, and today we're going to continue that. And as I was thinking about the deep life, I thought about my great aunt. Her name is Aunt Pat, and she passed away just a couple weeks ago. She was 99, which is pretty amazing, and just was just this remarkable woman. And when I think about her, all the memories are great. You know, some people you might have a little, it might be a mixed bag, but when I think about my great aunt Pat, it's all just great, and some really special ones that have, like when I think about being a kid, a lot of it I think about her, and she was a big part of our life. And so when she passed away, you know, my family asked me to do the funeral, which is a great honor. It's kind of hard to do it when it's your own family, but it's also a great honor and privilege too. So I was like, absolutely. And it got me thinking about her life and reflecting on memories. And my Aunt Pat lived an interesting life. She never drove, never had her driver's license, but she got around. And she, you know, she worked at some point, but never. That work wasn't a big part of her life. Her husband died when she was pretty young, and she raised two kids. And in a lot of ways, her life wouldn't really stand out to you. She lived in a very small house in Brooklyn for most of her life. It was a pretty unremarkable place. But every Christmas Eve, she would have the whole family to her house. Now, this was a very small house. But here's the kicker. We would all be in her basement. It was kind of like there was an unsaid rule, like you're not allowed beyond the basement. You know, you better have a good reason to go upstairs. And so everybody, so the house was small to begin with, and then imagine a small basement, and you pack everybody in there. And this basement was nothing cool. I mean, it was built, I think, in 1950, and it looked like that. Nothing had changed. And it was just a very, but yet, like, when I think about Christmas, that's what I think about, is Aunt Pat's basement. And I love it. And it brings so many memories. And there's something about those type of people that it wasn't the house. It wasn't all this stuff. It was who she was that added so much value to our life. And I wonder if you have someone in your life that was like that. I wonder if you've had family or friends that just who they are kind of makes things that aren't really great, great. You with me on this? And to me, when I think about her life, I'm like, you know what? She lived the deep life. She didn't chase after all those things that we tend to chase after, like newer and nicer and better and bigger stuff. She didn't really be concerned, but I'll tell you what, her life added tremendous value to everyone that she was around. And it was an awesome life to celebrate. And today I want to talk about one of the big pieces, I think, of the deep life. And one of the ways where we can experience the richness of some of God's blessings that he wants to give us today is through friendship. And today I want to talk to you about how important that is and how easy it is to miss this powerful blessing that God has for us, that God wants to bring into your life, that will strengthen and enrich your life. And we're going to talk about friendship. So we're going to look at the book of Proverbs today, and I'm going to share three Proverbs with you. Now, the book of Proverbs, this is an ancient book. It's written about 3,000 years ago. And when you try to understand something in the book of Proverbs, an idea, you often have to look at several Proverbs together because the writer doesn't write in a linear fashion. He writes in a circular fashion. So he'll kind of touch on an idea, go to a different idea, and then circle back to the idea. So you often have to read a few Proverbs to get the sense of what the author wants us to know. So we're going to look at a couple on friendship, and I'm going to read them to you. Proverbs 17:17, it says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." So just kind of the sense of this verse right here is that a friend chooses to love you, and a friend wants to be around you at all times. Family, sometimes, you know, they're like, I don't really want to be around you, but I will because I have to. They're in adversity. They're going to be there because they have to be there. It's part of the deal. But a friend chooses to be. They love you at all times. It's Proverbs 18, here's another one. "A man of many companions may come to ruin." Now, just think about companions in our life of more like casual relationships. Yeah, you have people that you're friendly with, that you talk to, that you talk sports or Browns, you know, you talk about the weather, people at work. That's kind of companions. There's a relationship there, but it's not a relationship that really brings tremendous strength and support to your life. And Proverbs says, a man of many companions, friendly with a lot of people, those relationships are fine, but they're not going to necessarily prevent ruin. That we need more strength than just kind of some relationships that exist more on the surface. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I know some of us have those friends in our lives, that you know at any time in the night you could call them and they're there, no questions asked. That many of us in this room are those friends. And Proverbs says that is a tremendous blessing in our lives. And here's the last one. "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." And we'll talk more about this one in a minute. But here's what I want you to see today, that God gives us friendship, that this is something from God. It's something for us, and it fills essential gaps in our life, and it gives us strength. And today, as we talk about this, some of us, we have these types of friendships that the book of Proverbs is talking about. And as I talk through this, some of us are going to be, you're going to think about people, you're going to have faces in your mind. And if that's you today, I want you to recognize what you have, and I want you to thank God for it. And I want you to just to continue to prioritize that in our life. Now, some of us, as we talk about this, we're going to think about it, and we're going to feel like, man, I want this in my life, but it's not quite there. I want the support. I want that friend that sits closer than a brother, but I'm not sure I have it right now. And I want you today to listen with an open heart, because I think God wants to help us experience that. And God also wants to help us give that to others. So we're going to talk about three aspects of this: the uniqueness of friendship, the support, and the discovery. The uniqueness, the support, and the discovery. Let's talk about the uniqueness first. Proverbs shows us that friendship, what it brings to our life, is different than what family and romantic relationships bring to our life. Now, when we read these Proverbs, they're not as powerful to us in some ways as I think they would have been to the people who originally heard them. Because in this ancient culture, family was everything. Everything was driven by your role in life. Everything you did, you lived to honor your family. Dishonoring your family was the worst thing possible. See, our world isn't quite like that. We're much more individualistic. Who you married was determined by your family, which, by the way, I want to bring that back. I got two daughters now, and I believe in that with my whole heart. I'm like, how did we ever get away from that? Amen? Girl dads, can I get an amen on that? There's wisdom in it, and we've lost it. We need to bring it back. But anyway, family was everything. But here's what Proverbs says. I want you to notice it. It says there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Here's what it's saying. It's not downplaying the role of family. We all know when our family is healthy, there's tremendous blessing in it. Romance has tremendous blessing in it. It brings something to our life. But here's what Proverbs is showing us. It shows us, but friendship brings something unique that neither of those other relationships bring. A friend loves at all time. A brother's born for adversity. A friend, they bring something different and something unique to our lives. And I believe it's something, friends, we all need. But yet, it can be easy to neglect the role of friendship in our lives. Have you ever met someone that as soon as maybe they start dating someone, you don't hear from them again for a while? They kind of ghost you. You don't have to point to anybody here. but that's kind of can be a normal thing to happen. Or we just, you know, if you got a young family or, you know, kids are doing a million things, you get so consumed with that it gets really hard to make space for friends. Not because you don't want it, but just because life is really, really consuming. And so I think as important as friendship is, it's really easy to neglect it. It's really easy to let relationships grow cold or to not have the energy and the time and the attention to make new ones. And so it can kind of become a missing piece in our lives. And I think sometimes in our world, we kind of talk about family and marriage and relationships as the one stop that can fill all the needs of your soul and your life. And relationships are amazing, and marriage is great, and family is great. But Proverbs says you need other relationships as well to bring the strength to your life that God wants. Last weekend, Allie, she has six girlfriends that they've been friends since like junior high school, college. They've been friends pretty much grown up together. And one of them was having a party at their house, and Allie's like, hey, I want to go. And as soon as I hear that, I try to think, do I have anything going on? Can I find something? Is anyone in our church that needs me to come over and pray? I'm just kind of racking my mind. And it's not that I don't love her friends. I do. But here's the deal. They're all married and they all have little kids now. And so when we go there, it's basically just chaos. And all I can think about And I know I'm a broken man here today, okay? You don't have to judge me so hard right now. I get it. But all I can think about is all the effort that's required. That's what I can think about. And so, you know, we got to load the kids up and I got to watch them. I got to keep them safe. It's going to, you know, and that's what I think about. And so I'm like, I'm not really, you know, interested in going. But we went and it was good. But when we were there, I just noticed, I was like, man, Allie is just really enjoying herself. And I saw just kind of something just fill in her soul by being around good friends in her life. And I was like, you know, I don't see that same feeling happen when she's around me. Now, there might be a lot of reasons for that. But I could see it's renewing, it's refreshing. And then it was interesting because then the next day, we had one of my good friends and his family over for dinner, and I think we reversed roles there a little bit. And at one point, me and my buddy, we haven't kind of hung out in a while, and we were just sitting out on the patio. It was a beautiful day, and we were joking around, and we were cracking ourselves up. And that's hard to believe. And Allie and his wife, they're like, hey, what are you guys laughing about so hard? And I was like, look, babe, it's stupid, and you're not going to think it's funny. And they're like, no, but tell us, what are you laughing about? What's so funny? And we told them, and they said, that is stupid and not funny. I said, I told you so. I wasn't. But we had a great time. And then my buddy, he texts me later, because again, it's been a while since we've hung out. And he said, he's like, man, I haven't laughed that much in a while. And it was good for me. And I thought the exact same thing. I was like, you know what? That did something for my soul. And that's what Proverbs is saying. It's saying good friends, meaningful friendships, they bring something that each of our soul needs. And it's part of God, and we need that support. Now, let me just share one more idea about this before we move on. When you look at the life of Jesus, and if you were to look, there's four accounts of the life of Jesus in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're biographies of Jesus, and they give us a picture of what his life looked like. And if you were to look through those very carefully, and you were to say, what spiritual practice does Jesus demonstrate the most? You know, and I'm talking to, you know, you could say prayer, he fasts, he serves, and all those, you know, would be good answers. But I think the one he demonstrates the most is friendship. That in the life of Christ, and it's easy to miss this because we're just reading the stories, but all these stories are at dinner with friends, are at someone's house, and Jesus' life constantly models to us this commitment to meaningful friendship. And Jesus, even at one point, when he is going to go to the cross, he is just, his heart is so heavy, he says, I'm sorrowful to the point of death, and he asks his friends, he says, can you stay with me and pray? And even in that moment, he shows us, he models for us, reaching out for help to our friends. Sadly, those losers don't help them. They fall asleep. But Jesus at least shows us how much that was part of his life. It brings something unique. Now, let's talk about the support for a second. Friendship brings us blessing. It protects and supports us. A friend it sticks closer than a brother. The more I think about that proverb, the more profound it becomes to me. That one of the great things that friends do is they're just with us through the good and bad and to the end. In a lot of ways, at the core, that's what it's really about. Just knowing we're not alone and we're in it together. And church, just knowing that brings tremendous strength to our life. There's a great book called How to Know a Person by David Brooks. And I've been reading through it. And it's all about this idea of building meaningful relationships. And he talks about how important it is to see each other, to see our needs and our struggles and our stories, and to be present and with each other. And at one point in the book, he talks about this idea of accompaniment. And I want to just share a quote with you. He says, accompaniment in this meaning is an other-centered way of moving through life. When you're accompanying someone, you're in a state of relaxed awareness, attentive and sensitive and unhurried, which that right there is just a hard thing to do, to just be present with the people around us, to not be looking at our phone, to not be thinking about the next thing we have to do, not be like, okay, I got to get this done because I got to go here, but just to be unhurried, that's a powerful thing. He says you're not leading or directing the other person. You're just riding alongside as they experience the ebbs and flows of daily life. You're there to be of a help, a faithful presence, open to whatever may come. So in other words, our relationships become really supportive in our life when we're present, when we're there, when we're just doing what Proverbs says. We're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We're not trying to fix each other or figure it all out. You know, I don't know about you, but when someone comes to me with a problem, I'm a fixer. I'm like, okay, here's what you need to do, A, B, and C. Why haven't you done it yet? This is easy, right? But that's oftentimes not what we actually need in life. We actually just need someone to be there. So he gives four ideas of how to do this, and I want to just share them with you quickly. One is, he says, patience. That to do this well, we need to practice a certain level of patience with people. Great relationships are built over time. Trust takes time to build. Most of us, we're probably not going to let people into our life too quickly because maybe we've got some wounds, we've got some hurt. So, you know, we kind of really get, can I trust this person? Are their motives good? And all that, it just requires time for a meaningful relationship to build. The second one, he says, is playfulness. I thought this was interesting, that when we bring playfulness to our relationships, it actually fosters and nurtures growth. And I was thinking about this when my Aunt Pat died, my cousin came in, and a lot of my cousins came in, and my one cousin who I'm very close to, and my other cousin's husband, who I had just met, we were hanging out, and we were playing jackpot with a bunch of the kids. Anybody know that? You throw a football in the air and call it. It's a great game. I'm pretty sure Jesus invented it. I'm not positive, but it feels that way. And we were playing it, and the kids were having fun. It was cool. But then the kids kind of got bored, but like we were still ready to do something. So we were in the street, and there was a stop sign. And so I was like, all right, let's see who can hit the stop sign with the football. And we started playing this game, and we were having way more fun than the kids. Three grown men in the street throwing a youth football at a stop sign. I'd like you to know your pastor won that game. Thank you. I say that in humility. All glory goes to God. But I'm deadly accurate with a youth football, church. You give me one of those Nerf balls, I mean, watch out. But we were just being playful, and it was fun, and it was bonding. You could almost feel a deeper connection happening. And there's something great when we bring, man, we can be wound up too tight, can't we? Isn't it nice when someone in your life helps you to maybe not take yourself so serious? Isn't it nice when you can just kind of laugh a little bit? You can have fun. You can have moments where it doesn't feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. That's a blessing. And it goes a long way in our relationships. Here's the third thing he says, other-centeredness, where we're attuned to the other person. We've all probably known people where you start a conversation with them and you can't get a word in. Or you ask them a question, and they're like, well, back when I was 6 years old, and you're like, oh boy, this is going to be, and you're going to get it all, and you're going to try to escape out of the conversation, but it's really hard to do. Other centers where you're not focused on you, obviously you're focused on them. and hearing them and listening to them and not just waiting for your chance to speak, but actually trying to hear what they have to say. And here's the fourth one, presence. And church, I just want to remind you, when people in our life are hurting, presence is the best thing you can give them. I know our friends get into rough times and you're like, I don't know what to say. What should I say? And you're trying to think about what to say. Here's the deal. The more pain there is, the less you say. Because there is nothing you can say. But here's what you can do. You can show up. And that's what we need. It's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend who is just there. There was a couple years ago, I was kind of going through a tough time. And I don't know if you've been in those tough times where you just don't know what to do and you can't think your way through it. Like you run it in every which way in your mind and you can't figure it out. And you're struggling to know what to do, how to respond, how to feel, all that. Anybody been there before? I was in one of those spaces and I reached out to one of my good buddies. His name's Hank. And when I was in this spot, I was calling, we were talking on the phone like several times throughout the week, which for me, that's a big deal because I hate talking on the phone. I hate it. If you call me, I love you, but I'm thinking, how quick can I get off of this? I'll talk to you in person. I just don't like talking on the phone. But I was hurting so bad that I needed a friend. And I was talking, and he was giving me his best wisdom and being a listener and doing all the things that a good friend does. But the most significant thing that he did for me in that time was everything we were talking about, he would say, we. He would just use that simple word. He would say, we. He would say, well, Chet, we didn't think about this. Well, the truth was, it was my life we were talking about. I didn't think about this, but he would say, we didn't think about this. Or he would say, you know, we should do this. Really, when it was my thing to do, but he would say, we. And I can't tell you, church, how much that meant just knowing this wasn't a me problem now, this was a we problem. That I had a friend that was willing to be in it with me. Because that makes a huge difference. And maybe some of us today, we're going through life and you're facing everything and you think it's me. Me. I got to face all this. I got to go through this. I got to deal with this. I've got to figure this out. And I want you to know, I believe God's got some people he either has in your life or he wants to bring into your life that want to say to you, we will get through this. We will walk through this. It's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm in it to the end. And church, that can make all the difference in the world. Doesn't mean you have all the answers that you need. Doesn't mean you have everything figured out. But just knowing it's a we issue is a game changer. Now, here's the last thing, the discovery of friendship. Friendship is discovered and then built. Now, that proverb where it talked about sweetness and the earnest counsel of a friend, oil and perfume are sweet. What that proverb is saying is that friendship is something that we discover and we discern. So in the ancient world, sugar wasn't a thing. So if you've ever tried to cut sugar out of your diet and then you look at like what's in our food, you're like, everything has sugar. I remember one time we were looking at bacon and bacon had sugar in it. Like, how? Why? What? You don't need to add anything to bacon. God made it perfect as it is. But you know, sugar's everything because we can make anything sweet now. But in the ancient world, you couldn't do that. Sweetness could only be discovered. You could only find honey or something that was naturally sweet, but you could not create it. And so here, this whole idea of sweetness is that, again, it's something that's discovered. And that's part of the challenges about friendship. You can't force it. You can't make it happen, but you can discover it. C.S. Lewis, a great author, he says this. He says, lovers are always talking to one another about their love. Friends hardly ever talk about their friendship. Lovers are normally face-to-face, absorbed in each other. Friends, side-by-side, absorbed in some common interest. And each of my friends, there's something that only some other friend can fully bring out. Right? There's some people, they can just make you laugh in a way others can't. There's some people, they can bring out courage in you in a way others can't. They can bring out just different sides. That's part of the uniqueness of friendship. By myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights other than my own to show all his facets. That's C.S. Lewis. And he's talking about the uniqueness, the blessing, the discovery of friendship. But here's what I love he says. He says, friends, they stand side by side and they're looking at something together. And that's what draws them in. Now, I just want to encourage you today. There's something special about having friends that are looking at the same thing as you, that are in pursuit of the same thing as you. And I think that there is nothing more powerful than being able to stand side by side with other people that are looking to God and they're in pursuit of God. That when you and I have friends in our life that are saying, man, I want to serve, I want to honor God, I want to live my life for him, and that's what draws you side by side, I'm telling you, that's a special gift. That's a special gift. And if you have that, cherish that. Thank God for that. If you don't have it, pray for it. And just start looking towards Christ, start looking towards him, and he will draw you in. So here's my challenge to you today, is make an effort. Make an effort. Here's what I mean. Maybe there's relationships in our life, there's meaningful friendships that we have, but maybe we've just been busy. We haven't prioritized. They've been neglected. Make the effort to reconnect. Maybe for others of us, we're like, man, I want this in my life, but it feels like it's missing a little bit. Then make the effort to take the first step. Write someone a note in church. Say, will you be my friend? Check yes, no. That's how Allie and I started dating. It worked out. It's still a good, I'm just kidding. But make an effort. Don't wait for it to come. Make an effort. And if you do have it, if you do it, man, take a moment today and just say, God, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for blessing me with this strength and support. And maybe each one of us needs to look at our life and say, man, what friend is struggling? What friend in our life is going through it and they're thinking like, me, I'm doing this, and they're alone in it. And it's, you can just see it on their face. You can hear it in their voice. You know it's not going well. And could you come alongside them and say, hey, it's we. We're doing this. I'm with you, good or bad. I'm with you to the end. I'm not going anywhere. And we're walking through this together. Now, one last thing I have to say to you. John 15, Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you my friends. It's such a powerful thing. And I believe God invites each and every one of us into friendship with him. Now, God could easily say, hey, I am the master and you are the servant. And God would be right to do that because he is the almighty God. But he invites us into something more joyful, something more intimate, something more personal, something even more powerful. He says, I consider you a friend. And God is looking at us today through Jesus Christ, and he's saying, you are my friends. And I'll tell you what, God is the perfect friend. He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. Now listen, could God pick better friends? No doubt he could. But that's part of his grace, that he invites broken, messed up people like you and me into friendship with him. And I wonder if thinking about God that way, and thinking about our relationship with him that way, I wonder if that would bring some more joy and strength in our commitment to him. Knowing that that's what God is like. That's his heart towards us. What a powerful thing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you, Lord, that you call us friends, Lord. Even though we are not like you, we're not the friend that sits closer than a brother, Lord. We're the one that loses our way, that struggles, that stumbles, that falls, all that. But yet, Lord, it doesn't change how you relate to us. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the comfort of that. I thank you for the strength of that. I thank you for the blessing of that. Father, today I pray that in every one of our lives, Lord, there could be strong support, and it could be through friends. That, Lord, each of us could have some people that we can walk through life with side by side, and we could find strength in each other. Father, where maybe there are struggles to have those relationships, to maintain them, to build them, give us your wisdom, give us your help. Help us to see a great life is not doing it alone. The deep life is not the solo journey, but the deep life is the interconnected life with others and with you. Give us your strength, your blessing, your wisdom to do it. Help us to take the right first steps. Help us to be with each other and for each other through the good, through the bad, and through the ugly, as you are with us. Help us in all this. In Jesus' name, amen.